Our text for this morning's meditation comes to us from Romans chapter 13. These words, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the gospel reading for the first Sunday in Advent, the gospel reading for this Sunday always strikes us as a bit odd, doesn't it? It strikes us as a bit odd, the gospel reading today, for it's the gospel reading for Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. The beginning of Holy Week as we look toward Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Holy Saturday and then Easter. That being so, what is that gospel reading doing here? Doing here on the first Sunday of Advent? Well, Advent is all about the arrival of the Son of God on earth as man in Jesus Christ. The word Advent comes from the Latin advenio, which means to arrive. But the thing is, there is more than just one arrival of Christ, isn't there? There is the advenio, the advent, the arrival of the Son of God that we will celebrate here in a few weeks, Christmas Eve, then Christmas Day. There, the Son of God became flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary and was born in the stable in Bethlehem, Jesus, eventually known as Jesus of Nazareth. There's also the advenio, the advent, the arrival of the Son of God as the Messiah, the Christ, long awaited by the children of Israel on the banks of the Jordan River, the beginning of the public ministry of Christ as John the Baptist pointed to him and declared, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." There's the advenio, of course, the advent, the arrival of Christ into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. The arrival we heard about in our gospel reading, his arrival to be just that Lamb of God, be sacrificed for the sins of the world the following Friday on the cross. Even though there on Palm Sunday, the people were proclaiming, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." There's the advenio, the advent, the arrival of Christ on the last day. We see it there in our stained glass window. His arrival on the last day as the King of all creation to judge the living and the dead and to usher in his visible kingdom, a new heaven, a new earth. And there's also then the advenio, the advent, the arrival of Christ into our hearts. Just saying about that. The arrival of Christ into our hearts, brought there into our hearts by the Holy Spirit when we were baptized into Christ. Now, the season of Advent encompasses all of these advenios, all of these arrivals of Christ, as is apparent in the Advent hymns that we are singing today and will be singing throughout the season. Advent is all about these arrivals of the Christ. Now, what our text would present to us this morning, Paul's epistle to the Romans, where we're told by the Holy Spirit of God to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, what our text would present to us this morning is an apparent conflict of sorts, a conflict within us caused by Christ's advenio, his advent, his arrival. Conflict? Well, a conflict in that since Christ has already, through our baptism into him, arrived into our hearts, Christ is already present in our hearts. How is it that we need to put on Christ? That is to put on our Lord Jesus Christ. Challenge is that even though Christ has arrived in our hearts, our old Adams, our old natures are really not that interested in having him there. That's the challenge. Even though Christ is in our hearts, our old Adam, not too interested in having him there. Now, what's that like? What's it like to have Christ in our hearts, but our old Adam's not wanting him to be there? Well, it's like what happened perhaps on Thanksgiving Day when we had all those relatives over to our house. Yes, we were happy they were there. Yes, we'd actually invited them to be there. Yes, we had looked forward to their arrival. But when they actually got there, what happened? What happened? Well, we lost our place, our chair, our favorite chair in the living room, as we had no place to sit. And so heading off to the bathroom, we found the door was locked. Someone was using it, using our bathroom. Moving then to the room where we usually watch television, there were a couple of kids or grandkids with a gaming system hooked up to the television, playing this, that, or the other thing. Cords everywhere. Bodies sprawled out this way and that. It's all hypothetical. And then the noise, the din, the laughter, the shouting. And sure, what about that last piece of pie? That last piece of pie. It disappeared. It disappeared. That was our piece of pie. It's always been our piece of pie. Yes, 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 we wanted them there, but when push came to shove, there was conflict within the house, because by having them there, there were things we no longer could do. There were things we no longer could do. You see, when Christ enters our hearts, there can be a conflict as our souls and our minds become challenged with the reality of the presence of Christ within us. Chiefly, as the remainder of our text puts it, when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, when we embrace the Christ that is within our hearts with our minds and with our souls, then those things which we used to do, the provisions for our flesh, these we need to set aside. And we certainly don't need to get upset because we no longer can sit in our chair and have a continually open bathroom, a television that we control, perpetual peace and quiet, and that last piece of pie. No. We simply rejoice that Christ is in our heart, just like we simply rejoice that our relatives were able to come to our homes and spend the holiday of Thanksgiving with us. The fact that they were there trumps everything else. All the provisions of the flesh that we normally make for ourselves. And in the fact that they were there, those relatives, we rejoice. We rejoice that they were there. And we wonder. And we marvel. And we open up our minds and our souls to discover just exactly who they are and what they're doing and what they're becoming and what they one day may be. Same then is true for the presence of Christ within our hearts. In embracing Christ through faith in our souls and minds, we rejoice and we wonder and we marvel to discover just exactly who He is. And what Christ is doing within us, and what we're becoming through Him, and what we one day in Him will be. It's no wonder then that in 2 Corinthians 5 we read, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," that is, if anyone has put on Christ, "he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come." The new has come as Christ has arrived in our minds, as Christ has arrived in our souls, just as Christ has arrived in our hearts. For me to live is Christ. So we read in Philippians 1:21. For in Christ we've been reconciled to God by the blood shed for us on the cross, covering our sins of doubt, our sins of selfishness, our sins of continually making provisions for our flesh, that is, of our slavery to our bodies, which so often are simply shouting out to us, our bodies. They're shouting out to us, "Gimme, gimme, gimme! Gimme food! Gimme comfort! Give me excitement. Give me solitude. Give me whatever it is I want." As a child, I had an odd experience of being invited over with members of my family to a person's house on Christmas Day. Now, we were excited to go there to that house because it would be something different than we usually do on Christmas Day. But when we arrived there, we were ushered into a room of the house, which was a big house. We were ushered into a room of the house, and the door was closed behind us. And there we sat for the next hour. My dad, and my mom, and my sister, and me, and my younger brother. It really was odd, actually. I mean, why had we been invited over to that house if we were just going to be closed off into that room? Well, as it turned out, the family was doing some sort of family Christmas thing, and they didn't think we should be a part of it, even though they had invited us to their home at that time. Still a head-scratcher when I think about it. But isn't that what we do with Christ when he arrives in our hearts? But we then close the door of our hearts behind him. So he can't be part of our souls, and he can't be part of our minds. Isn't that what we do with Christ when we confess him to be our Lord and Savior from sin and death, and even from ourselves, from our flesh, and yet we spend so much time and effort doing whatever it is our flesh wants us to do, as if our flesh were our master, and we were not, let alone our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So maybe, as we begin our observation of the season of Advent, that is of the arrival of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, maybe this year we can try daily through prayer and devotion and even conscious effort to let our Savior out of the little room of our hearts to roam freely within us, within our souls, within our minds, so that he can truly be from moment to moment to moment our Lord and Savior. What will happen then? Well, maybe the same thing will happen, or a similar thing will happen to what happened that time that we simply embraced and we enjoyed and we rejoiced over the relatives we had over at our home on Thanksgiving. We joyed to see one or two or three of our grandchildren in our favorite chair. We laughed that another grandchild made it to the bathroom just in the nick of time. We sat down with our kids and our grandkids and tried to learn how to play at least one of the video games which they were playing. We gladly gave up our last piece of pie, happy that there was someone to which we could give it to. In other words, in this season of Advent, let us put on our Lord Jesus Christ, for he has truly arrived within us. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the apostles.